Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
What is up, everybody? Elijah here from Hoosier Pools. Thank you guys so much for joining me on the channel. I am super excited because we're doing something a little bit different today. We are talking with Alex Efron, the founder of Collectors MD. Alex, thank you so much for joining me on the channel and taking the time to talk about what Collectors MD is all about.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity, and yeah, really excited to be chatting with you today.
Yeah, likewise. So could you just briefly just describe how you started Collectors MD and what it's about and what you guys offer?
Yeah, absolutely. So hey, everyone, it's great to meet you all. I'm Alex Efron. I've been a collector for most of my life. And like a lot of you, I've seen this hobby evolve in ways that are both exciting and honestly pretty concerning, right? I founded Collectors MD earlier this year as a response to what we've been seeing, not just in others, but in myself, the overspending, the compulsive breaking, chasing that next big hit, and slowly just losing that joy that got me into collecting in the first place, right? Coming out of National this past week, it really, really hit me. You know, we're kind of at a fork in the road as a hobby. On one side, we've got community, passion, nostalgia, connection. And then on the other, we've got, you know, unchecked gambling mechanics, influencers that are just pushing high-risk products, not just to adults, but to kids, and an overwhelming pressure to just always be chasing something, always be chasing that next athlete, always be chasing that next product, always be chasing that next case hit insert. There's always something that the manufacturers, the platforms, the breakers are marketing to us, right? So Collectors MD is about creating something different, right? It's a support first space where collectors can talk openly about the emotional, financial, and mental toll that this hobby can take. We run weekly peer support groups every Wednesday night. So last night we actually had our 15th consecutive meeting, which I'm really proud of. Appreciate that. We also partner with mental health resources and advocate for more responsible, intentional collecting. We're not here to bash the hobby. We're not here to cancel the breaking culture or to be a pain, you know, for anybody. We're here because we love it and we want to protect it and the people in it. So if you've ever felt like things were starting to slip or that collecting was starting to, you know, control you instead of the other way around, you're not alone. And if you're somebody who believes we need more honesty, balance, and care in this space, you're exactly who we're building this for. So in just 4 months, we've had so much success, you know, bringing people into these peer support group meetings, building the community, getting people to speak up and advocate for the things that have been sort of sitting with them that they haven't had the courage to speak about for, right. for, you know, quite some time. And it's just been a beautiful thing to watch. And so, you know, our goal is to continue working with a lot of these health resources, partner with the breakers, partner with platforms, partner with the manufacturers to continue building towards a healthier and more sustainable future for the hobby.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I love the work that you guys are doing. And that's something that I have noticed within the past few years. There's been this really big shift into not just enjoying the cards and just chasing after your favorite rookies. It's all become about making your money back or pulling that big chase card like you were talking about. And you know, even with the new products like the mystery packs and repacks, it's not about enjoying the card that you're getting. It's all about trying to make a profit or make your money back. And it just seems like just so far from what actual collecting is supposed to be.
Exactly. And you touched on something that has become increasingly popular and also increasingly dangerous. And that's the whole concept of a repack and repack culture. And look, you know, we can't talk about the current state of the hobby without calling that out. You know, what started as a fun side idea, sort of reshuffling hits, building chase formats, has turned into this like unchecked monster, right? Now you've got these high-end mystery boxes being pushed as entertainment, but what, you know, they really are is just straight up gambling. And here's the worst part. It's often kids opening those boxes. You know, we see all of these highlight reels and clips and TikToks of 12-year-old children opening up Pokemon repacks, sports card repacks, screaming because they doubled or tripled their money. You know, they're being conditioned to be a part of this gambling culture at such a young, vulnerable, and impressionable age, which is so incredibly dangerous. But we also see, you know, adults, vulnerable collectors who are also struggling with, you know, discipline and self-control. And right now there's just no regulation. There's no transparency. There's no accountability. A $500 repack might net you $40, right? And the person running it just shrugs and says, you know, that's the luck of the draw. Like, you know, we'll get them next time. But it's not luck. It's predatory design. You're dangling these massive hits in front of people, showing off the big pulls online to bait them in and not disclosing any sort of odds or true value. And it's the same playbook that casinos use, right? So, you know, just with sports cards instead of slot machines. And the scariest part, again, is that all of this stuff is just being completely normalized. It's being framed as content. It's being gamified. And for a lot of people, it's become this like slippery slope back into compulsive behavior, debt, or worse. And so that's why Collectors MD isn't just about support. It's about building awareness. It's about giving collectors the language and clarity to say things like, hey, something about this feels off. You know, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't sit with me. And then hopefully allow them to reclaim their hobby before it turns into something harmful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, like I said, I think the work that you guys are doing is so great. I've myself have talked about accountability and community and different things like that. But to see you actually take the initiative and start this and see this really grow as a movement has been so awesome. And just, you know, hearing about the weekly support groups, because we don't hear about the people who have lost everything because, you know, they've just haven't been able to take control of their spending when it comes to breaking and all of these different things. So yeah, that is really awesome what work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, man. And we really appreciate like how many people in the community have started talking about this sort of stuff and speaking up about, you know, the gambling like mechanics and the repacks and the deeper issues at play here, right? These aren't new concerns. They've been floating around for a while. People have been talking about them on podcasts, you know, in live forums, whether that be at a card show or Fanatics Fest or the National. But nobody's done anything about it, right? No one's really stepped up to address the real concerns here directly, right? And so that's part of why we built Collectors MD and why it exists, to take those quiet conversations and give them a platform, give them a louder voice, not to shame or cancel people, right? But to actually push the hobby in a healthier, more sustainable direction. And seeing more folks willing to have these tough conversations in our weekly support meetings, in you know, social forums or Facebook groups, that's a really encouraging sign. It means that people care. People are starting to have the courage to step up and talk about these issues, talk about their personal problems that they're dealing with, and it means that, you know, folks are paying attention. So we want to just keep pushing forward. We want to keep spreading positive awareness, educating people, especially the next generation, who, again, is just so incredibly vulnerable and impressionable and needs the tools and resources in order to be set up for success down the road. So, again, we just want to keep calling things out, but also calling each other in, right? The more honest we are, the better chance we have at shaping this hobby that we all love, so that we can all be, you know, proud of it.
Yeah. And that's something that I also really like is when you see a lot of different people who their main focus is calling out the bad stuff and bringing light to it. Like I appreciate that, but a lot of it is just so negative to the point where it's like, do you guys even like collecting cards? Like, do you guys even enjoy this? And so for you guys to have that call to reform, I was reading the reform initiative on the website. Yep. By the way, guys, all of the links are going to be in the description of this video, so check out the website. They have so much content and resources there. It's awesome. But the reform initiative, it provides actual like feedback and ways to actively improve the problems that you see. And that's something that I think is just so cool, because you're not just calling out a problem, you're providing a solution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the industry reform initiative was created to serve as sort of a standard, a benchmark for platforms, for manufacturers to hopefully see and eventually integrate into their user flows, into their UX, into the way that they conduct themselves and their apps and their entire user experiences. Again, it's not intended to be overly intrusive or completely shake up the hobby, but it just makes so much more sense for platforms, manufacturers, and breakers to proactively be a part of the change instead of just sitting back and waiting for some external governing body, or worse, a lawsuit to come along. And then, you know, some external person of power starts shaking things up and just turning this into, you know, a system that we don't like. So we just want these folks to be able to understand the problems that we're facing. And, you know, we go through everything in great detail. There are objectives here, you know, things like ensuring fairness and transparency, preventing fraud, standardizing the practices, consumer protection, responsible breaking messaging. It's subtle. It's nothing like that's going to completely change the hobby or completely change the user experience. It's just looking out for the customer, creating safer space and guardrails so that people don't spiral out of control. So again, this is like a framework that we've developed: licensing, registration and age verification, transparency and pricing, odds and formats, spending limits, self-exclusion and transaction history. These are things that we see within gambling apps but haven't been introduced to any of the card related or hobby related apps. responsible gaming warnings and support resources. When you see a commercial or an ad for you know, a casino or a sports book like DraftKings or FanDuel, what do you always see along with it? Responsible gaming messaging, right?
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
You or you know somebody who has a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's a part of their corporate responsibility to provide their customers with the appropriate tools and resources so that if they need it, they have something to lean on, right? There's a hotline that you can call. There are tools and resources available for people who have, you know, addiction. And that addiction is the same type of addiction that we're seeing across the hobby. And so that's incredibly important and something that we continue to advocate for. The verified randomization and record keeping, like everything is just feels, you know, like the Wild West, like these right. wheel spins and the random card shuffles for, you know, the random teams and such, like all of that just seems very sort of fugazi, as we say. Like it doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel, you know, like it's legitimate at times. And so we want to look out for the safety and ultimately, you know, the trust from these breakers and from the platforms. We also are looking to add things like real-time receipts and break recording, platform accountability and moderation tools, ban on conflicts of interest and unlicensed gambling, education, awareness, and community training. You know, that's something we can be actively involved in. Financial safeguards and encryption standards, refunds and dispute resolution. That's an ongoing issue with these apps. Where people are just filing chargebacks. And again, it's the Wild West. You know, you can order thousands of dollars worth of product or cards from a break and decide after the fact that you just want to file a chargeback with your credit card. And it becomes a major issue for both sides, both the breaker and the customer. So
right.
sort of creating a better solutions around that. And then audit and compliance enforcement. So you know, some of these things do sound a little bit heavy and serious, but some of them are just so incredibly needed, right?
Right.
So yeah, we just want to keep pushing for it.
Yeah. And I think that people who maybe haven't been on some of these platforms might not understand just how easy it is to get hooked on the way that these shows run and that how the bids run. You know, we briefly talked about it in our conversation before, but there's auctions that start at 10 seconds long. And it pretty much takes your brain out of constructive thinking mode and you just go into a swiping frenzy. And so being able to have those self-exclusions and limits is really important because I've had people comment on the video that I did, you know, about the National, you know, talking about how they have spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars collectively on different items and repacks and whatnot and all that good stuff. And you know, they've been like, I've never hit anything like any of these influencers, you know, and now I'm just left like feeling the shame and remorse of all of this. So
yeah, people are getting absolutely blindsided by this stuff.
Yeah.
It's scary. You know, one of the biggest traps I think you brought up and, you know, you mentioned we talked about, that people fall into in the hobby, and I've been there myself, is the late night bidding, right? Mm-hmm. When it's like 2 a.m. and you're tossing and turning and you can't fall asleep. So what do? You start doom scrolling and you end up on Whatnot. And, you know, maybe you've had a long day and you're stressed out. And you tell yourself you're just a bystander. You're just watching, right? And then all of a sudden you're in this live break or live stream, and there's a break going on and they're filling the break with random teams. And suddenly, you know, your fat thumb ends up swiping right, like, you know, to bid on something, and right. You're in a bidding war over some random team, and you get dealt the worst team in the deck. What's, you know, what's the natural sort of next step or progression there? You go full tilt and you start chasing other teams. The next thing you know, you've spent a couple thousand dollars only to get back like $50 in cards. And then, so your knee jerk reaction is just to dive back in and do it all over again. Like, we see this happening over and over and over again. And people just waking up the next morning, like, what the heck did I do, you know, last night? How did I fall into that frenzy? And, you know, again, a lot of this behavior is just sort of subconscious, and the platforms are built for it. And it doesn't just exist on the breaking apps. It's also on eBay, right? It becomes sort of second nature, swiping and, you know, just clicking, and it's all right in front of you in your face all the time. We're all right. Like, you know, our smartphones are an extension of us, and you don't even realize how deep you're in it until the receipt or the invoice hits your inbox. Then you've got, you know, all sorts of other things that drive the FOMO, the breaker acting as the entertainer and the dealer and, you know, the marketer all in one, just screaming, you know, like chat, you gotta bid more. Right. These things are going for way too low. You know, these prices or these spots should be going for way more. I mean, and then you've got the guy selling the singles who, you know, list everything on a sudden death auction. So people don't even have time to scramble and check comps or like do any sort of research. There's this sense of urgency. You have to bid. And so cards that might cost $2 on eBay end up going for like $25-$30 in these live streams, because people, again, just feed into this sense of missing out, the FOMO, right? So again, it's just a matter of refining these platforms and these user experiences so people don't get completely sucked in and chewed up you know, by the breakers and the platforms. And we're not saying that every single breaker, every single platform intends to do this to people, but it's just inherently happening. It's a part of the experience, and there are people who are just getting completely burnt, and the emotional, the mental, and the financial burnout is just becoming too much to bear for some folks. And so again, we're here for those people. But in addition to that, we also want to just keep pushing for reform and for change.
Yeah. And I saw that you guys were partnered with Birch's Health, which I think they're one of the, if not the only kind of company that's offering specific guided therapy for like a sports card or, you know, trading card type addiction.
So, you know, the worlds of collecting and mental health don't necessarily always overlap, but one of the most important steps that we've taken as a community or taken at Collectors MD is partnering with Birch's Health, who are a nationwide leader in behavioral health and addiction treatment. I am not a licensed therapist. I'm not a doctor. I don't have any sort of experience or background as it pertains to providing that sort of service. So by partnering with Birch's Health, we add that extra layer of support as people need it. And so what that means for our community and for our members is that they now have access to licensed professionals who specialize in gambling and compulsive behaviors, not just general therapy. And that sort of level of understanding carries incredible weight when you're talking about something as specific and emotionally charged as gambling, or sorry, as collecting, and these gambling-like activities like breaking. You have access to virtual confidential care from home. So reaching out doesn't require taking that extra effort to get in a car and go to a doctor's office that might leave traces of feeling like, you know, exposed. It's completely confidential, judgment free. They're for you when you need it. And they offer affordable treatment options. Most of what they offer is covered by insurance, or low to no cost, meaning help isn't off limits to people who genuinely need it, right? So instead of just feeling like you're stuck in a loop of buying, breaking, chasing hits, there's now a way to get real professional support tailored to those exact challenges. And that's monumental. And so this partnership isn't about labeling the hobby or calling anybody out. It's about making sure that help is there for people who actually need it when they need it. And that reflects exactly what Collectors MD stands for, supporting the collectors themselves with care and clarity, right? And it's not about, you know, growing the Collectors MD brand or creating a sense of clout or trying to get, you know, more likes or followers. It's about educating the people that actually need it. So we just want the hobby to recognize that these tools and resources exist for those people that need it. And so, again, we just want to continue to carry the message and partner with folks like you who have the audience, who have the platform to continue spreading such an impactful and important message.
Yeah, that is really important. And on the website, you know, it talks about, you know, when should, you know, I seek out help, you know. And one of the things that really stuck out to me was it's like when the hobby, like when this stops being fun, you know, like when right. when it starts feeling like a weight. And I feel like, you know, everybody's different, but, you know, even myself, you know, I've deleted the eBay app off my phone, you know, previously in times past, just because I felt myself like overusing it, checking it too much, having a watch list that was way, way too long.
You know, you have a problem when you go to watch an item and eBay tells you that you're at capacity and you have to remove some items on your watch list.
That's been me before. Yeah. And so just being able to, you know, self-reflect and, you know, self-critique, you know, what you're doing and, you know, how much of it you're doing. Like you said, I love that you guys are all for, you know, the hobby. You know, you're not anti-hobby in any way.
100%. We love collecting.
It's just all about having that accountability and community around to be there for you when you feel like you might start slipping, or, you know, if you already feel like you have slipped and you want to get back on track.
Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. You know, we want to take it back to the purity, to the joy of the days when people actually collected to collect and didn't collect to try to collect a paycheck. Right. Brought up another really good point. You know, and we try to emphasize this at Collectors MD, that everyone is different, right? The gambling like mechanics in the hobby, things like pack ripping, some of the things we talked about, the countdown auctions, the high risk repacks, the mystery slabs, they don't affect everyone the same way. And for some people, look, it's just entertainment and they do have the self-control. They rip a pack here or there. They go to their LCS, they buy one box and they stay within their means. They know their limits and then they walk away. But for others, it's just not that simple. People have impulses. And so we have to take those people seriously, right? So there's the adrenaline rush, the chase for a hit, the thrill of just one more. It can trigger something much, much deeper, especially for those already dealing with things like stress, trauma, or a history of addictive behavior. It could start to really spiral fast. There are a lot of people we hear quit gambling or self-exclude from gambling and then turn to the hobby only to find themselves in the same predicaments or sometimes even worse, right? Because the hobby is sort of disguised as this like childhood rooted activity that we've all known and love since we were kids. And so we just have to be very, very careful there.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
We have to look out for, the warning signs. Someone might say, well, you know, I could stop anytime. It's just fun for me. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's fun for the next person or that it's safe. So, again, we're not here to say that the hobby is inherently bad or that everyone needs to stop. We're just here to say, let's make space for both realities. Let's acknowledge that what feels casual for you might feel compulsive for someone else. And let's stop pretending that just because you don't struggle doesn't mean others don't. So that's what awareness is all about. That's what empathy actually looks like. I get a little frustrated when I see people saying things like, you know, it's just a hobby. It's just cards. Like, how could you possibly spiral out of control or end up spending your life savings or hard-earned money on something so juvenile or trivial? You just don't get it. You don't get, that everybody's different. Everybody goes through things differently. And when the system is engineered to suck you in and make you chase, it makes it that much more difficult for somebody who is susceptible for falling into addictive behavior and patterns.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, the people who design these platforms, they're not naive. You know, they're very smart. They know exactly what they're doing. It's great to see, collectors MD kind of working as that, like, safeguard, for people who are unaware.
Right.
Because there's so many new people coming into the hobby, and it's great and it's awesome. But it's also just like, I feel like they're prime targets, to get, like you said, just to get engulfed in this just vicious cycle, that can happen.
You don't realize that you've been sucked in, chewed up and spit out until it's too late most of the time.
Right.
Fortunately. Right. Like the price points of product these days, it's just become so like out of control, so just marked up that it doesn't even make sense to rip personals anymore, because 99% of the time you are not making back even a fraction of what you put in, right?
Yeah.
But people still do it. People still do it, right? Because they want to chase that high. They want to chase that hit. And we talk a lot about this in our weekly meetings. The whole concept of chasing the dragon, that's something they talk a lot about in GA and other recovery anonymous meetings like AA and NA. People want to recreate that first rush, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you join the hobby, you join a break for the first time, let's say, and you have a little bit of beginner's luck and you hit something massive and you end up, either stashing it in your PC, maybe you grade it, it gets a good grade, becomes like the cornerstone of your PC, or you end up selling it and make back a 10x what you originally put in, let's say. That might seem great at first, but it really is the devil in disguise, because next thing you know, you're just trying to recreate that moment. And so we see this so often where somebody joins a break for the first time, they hit big. And then they try, they're like, oh, this is so easy. This is great. I'm just going to join more breaks. And then they joined another four, another five. And all of a sudden, they've joined a dozen breaks and they haven't hit a single card of any value or note. They fall into these patterns, these cycles, these loops, these what we call like dopamine loops. And so, again, you just have to protect yourself from yourself sometimes and make sure that you put those safety measures in place. Protect yourself, as you see fit, in order to prevent sort of going down that slippery slope, that dark path. Another partnership that, I think is worth mentioning is the one we have with Gamban. where you can download this app and basically put block or app blocking software on your phone. So if you do feel like you're not going to be able to control yourself or control that urge in the middle of the night when you're in your most vulnerable state, you can actually prevent yourself from being able to open Fanatics Live or whatnot, or Loop, or any of these hobby related apps that might be sort of a trigger for you. So, you know, that's not to, we're not doing that because we want to take anything away from those platforms, right? But the platforms don't offer the self-exclusion tools that the gambling apps do. You know, the gambling apps make it easy. They make it simple for somebody to just go into their settings, self-exclude in their respective state, and then they can't gamble anymore. And they're basically on like a block list. I myself self-excluded from gambling several years ago because I was a gambling addict. I went down that dark path and I knew that I didn't have the self-control. I would impulsively open those DraftKings or FanDuel apps all the time and start playing live blackjack just to scratch the itch. And so that doesn't exist in the hobby. That doesn't exist with Fanatics or whatnot. And so if the big players aren't going to make it possible for their customers, for their users to be able to self-exclude, then we want to be able to offer those third-party resources so people can do them themselves. So again, that's just another layer of support that we offer now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think that it's also really important, especially like for me as someone who makes content on YouTube, you know, specifically with, you know, I open a lot of sealed boxes and stuff like that. I feel like the content creators also need to be transparent with their audience. You know, it's like, and be careful about who you follow, because, you know, there's some people that only show like the monster hits. There's only people that, you know, show all the good stuff. And they, you know, they don't show you, you know, the box where they spent $600 and got, you know, $30 back. There's a very small percentage of people who are opening that amount of product, you know, and have sponsorships and are doing all these other things, which is not bad. But I feel there also needs to be transparency in that, saying like, hey, you know, I'm sponsored here, or I can do this because of this. So I think that's really important. That's something that I try to be really transparent with all of my viewers. I tell them, you know, if I partner with anybody, if I'm ever sponsored, you know, I personally don't accept any type of partnership unless I specifically use that company's product. So I think that having a level of accountability in the content creation space will also only positively impact these other surrounding areas of the hobby.
Absolutely. You brought up two really good topics that I think, you know, make a lot of sense to bring light to, you know, from our sort of perspective. The first one is sort of these highlight reels and the influencer boxes, as some people like to call them. They're one of the most subtle but dangerous forms of manipulation in the hobby right now. And the concept like seems harmless, right? On the surface, you give a popular content creator an influencer box to rip on camera. Maybe, you know, the manufacturer knows that it's going to be a hot box or have a big hit inside and let their audience watch the magic happen, you know? But then when you really think about it, it's just another way to engineer hype and suck people in. It's basically free marketing or advertising for the manufacturer or the platform. So these boxes, you know, aren't always random. I think, you know, a lot of people realize that now. In fact, a lot of the time they're hot boxes. They're stacked with hits to make the product look better than it actually is. And when someone with a massive following pulls a monster card on stream, thousands of people watching start to believe that could be me. So what do they do next? They buy, they rip, they chase, they overspend, and they get disappointed over and over again. And it's not just about the influencer either. It's the psychology of influence. The platforms and companies know that we trust familiar faces. We're more likely to buy what they're promoting, right? Even if it's subconsciously. And that's where it becomes predatory. because when you're struggling with control or chasing that next dopamine hit, those influencer boxes aren't just entertainment, they're a trigger. And the worst part is there's rarely, you know, any disclosure. People watching don't know if that box was free, if it was curated, if the odds were altered, or even worse, you know, the person recording is on like their fifth or sixth box in reality and just
right.
They keep recording the same video over and over again until they actually hit that hot box so that they can create content that, you know, has a better chance of going viral, right? And so that lack of transparency or sort of the unknown creates this false sense of possibility, and people spiral chasing something that was never real to begin with. And so that's all about, you know, why we're speaking up, because if we don't start holding the industry and the creators, the influencers accountable, this next generation of collectors will be raised on smoke and mirrors instead of truth and intention. And so the other thing you brought up that we talked about a little bit already is the transparency in the hobby, which is so long overdue. And, you know, it just has to start at every level. The breakers and the manufacturers, the breakers need to be honest about what they're selling. If it's a resealed box, or if it's a repack, or if it's been cherry picked, let's say, like, you know, they know where the case hit was in the case and they plucked it or whatever. If you're guaranteeing hits but not explaining the odds or the risk, like, that's just straight up misleading. There are people spending literally their rent money or their mortgage payments trying to chase cards because they trust what they see on camera, or they trust their favorite breaker, right? That's a huge responsibility, whether you realize it or not, as the breaker, as like the stream host. And platforms, especially live marketplaces and social selling apps, they just need to step up their moderation, right? The 10-second timers, the flashing graphics with the slot machines, the fake sense of urgency, the manipulated market prices, these are all designed to make people spend without consciously thinking. And these platforms know exactly what they're doing, and they're profiting from the fallout. And then there's the manufacturers, whether it's Panini, Tops and Fanatics, whoever. You can't keep flooding the market with low quality products, vague print runs, and questionable like redemptions. The whole idea of a redemption in the first place is just so insane. Like, I actually tried explaining what a redemption was to my parents recently, and they just couldn't wrap their heads around it. Like, why would you buy a product if the best hit in the product, the best player in the product, wasn't live, right? And like, how many times do we see a product drop and like the number one player, the number one chase in that product is a redemption? Like, it's crazy. And so the collector base just needs to become more educated, be smarter. We need honesty about print runs, about odds, about quality control. Like, how many times have we seen quality control be a major issue in a product? Collectors are just becoming fatigued of feeling like they're the last ones to know the truth. Transparency, like, it shouldn't be radical, right? It should be a standard, because if, you know, the hobby is going to grow in a healthy, sustainable way, like, it has to be built on trust, not manipulation. We're not asking for that much in the grand scheme of things, right?
Yeah.
These are very, very fair requests.
Yeah. And just a small digression, you know, you brought up with the manufacturers having accountability. Topps has been doing the
get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
EQL drops, where it's supposed to certify fairness, and you know, a third party, the EQL, determines, you know, who wins by random. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I have an email from Topps saying that you know, nobody is given a special treatment or anything like that with these products. And just the other day, they were dropping the Marvel Sapphire,
yeah,
and people were breaking it on Whatnot, before the EQL had even announced the results. So
it's how much did those boxes sell for?
They were, I did not enter to buy one, but they were $489 on the EQL drop.
Do you have any idea? Because I did see that there are a handful of breakers that have it in hand already, and they're ripping it. Do you have any idea what they're charging, you know, as far as aftermarket prices?
I'm assuming it's astronomical. I've heard from just like Discord chats and stuff that it was hundreds of dollars.
Over 800 because I see it sold out at 800 on David Adams. So I can only imagine what the breakers are charging for it on the platforms. But that's another telltale sign. Like it's so much deeper than just sports cards. You know, all of these other major franchises, Disney, Marvel, obviously Pokemon, these other TCGs, like this is becoming more and more widespread, more and more mainstream. They make cards for any and everything. And Fanatics, their whole concept is creating this ecosystem of collectibles, breaking platform culture, and gambling and casino and sports books, right? And basically encompassing all of these sports related items and activities in one, like a one-stop shop, right? And so they're bringing in all of these celebrities, influencers, athletes to be involved. And so you see Tom Brady and Olivia Dunn and Rob Gronkowski, all these major athletes and individuals at all of these events, hanging out with Michael Rubin, taking selfies with the kids. And it's just become like, it's become a circus, right? Because those individuals only really understand the hobby like on the surface level. They don't understand the nuances of the gambling like mechanics. And why should they? You know, that's not their job. That's not their responsibility. But when you see, you know, the mainstream celebrities becoming more and more acclimated, more and more involved in this stuff, it only sucks more and more people in, right? So we just have to create a layer of awareness, education, tools and resources, and just be that, you know, layer of support for the hobby as it just continues to evolve and grow into this mainstream space.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely.
Crazy. It's crazy, man. It's like, you know, we talked about, like, we love collecting. We love the hobby. We just want to see it continue to evolve in a positive direction. And I just don't know if the folks at the helm are accounting for these things that, you know, have sort of gone unspoken or flown under the radar for far too long. So we collectively as a community, as a hobby, just need to come together to continue spreading this message, spreading the awareness, and just, you know, pulling for change. It needs to happen sooner rather than later, because like I said, in the beginning of our conversation, if we don't start changing, if we don't start adapting to people's needs, there's going to be an external governing body that comes in, whether it be a gaming commission or an SEC like type of organization that just lays the hammer down on the hobby. And it's never going to look the same again. So that's the part that's scary. And we want to sort of bake in those preventative measures before that ever even becomes the reality.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of collectors, they feel that. They feel exactly, you know, what we've been talking about. I think that people are tired. They're tired of getting brushed under the rug. And, you know, they're tired of not having transparency and things like that. So there are things that we can do. You know, we're not powerless. We're not helpless. And, you know, like what you've done, you know, you've started a movement. You know, you've brought fruition and tangibility to what the collectors have been feeling for a long time. And like I said, all the links are going to be in the description. Definitely, you know, check out the website. I know you guys do like daily posts. Yep. You guys are always putting out great content. I can't recommend it enough because it's just shining such a light in just the dark space that can be within the hobby.
Exactly. Yeah. The content is big for us too. We want to push this narrative, push this movement through the content, through education. And so we have a few different franchises, as we call them. One is called the Daily Reflection, which has really become a cornerstone of Collectors MD. And they're basically just like these brief, honest, and thought-provoking journal entries that we share on a daily basis. And what's so great about them is that it's not just me contributing. We have a whole collective of individuals who have contributed. And these are people from the hobby, from the community, that just, you know, want a platform to speak their mind, speak their voice. And so we invite and welcome any and everyone who wants to contribute to the Daily Reflection, just to reach out, send us a DM, shoot us an email, info@collectorsmd.com. And we could talk about getting a Daily Reflection up and published on the website. And then we have another franchise called Collector Spotlight. So at Collectors MD, we believe that collecting should be deeply personal, intentional, and it should be a fulfilling experience. And so our Collector Spotlight is a monthly series that features and shines a light on collectors who truly embody our mission, which is collecting with intention. And so each month we highlight a passionate collector within our community and showcase their collection. And that doesn't necessarily have to be cards. It could be sneakers. It could be coins. It could be memorabilia. It could be anything. And we just want to be give them the light to share their story, celebrate the way they approach their respective hobby. And these aren't just collectors chasing the latest hits or the highest value drops, right? They're individuals who build collections with purpose, with meaning, and, you know, with their own personal touch. And that's so incredibly important and valuable. And then we started to podcasts of our own. So we have the Collector Spotlight. We'll be recording episode 6 next week. And then another podcast called Behind the Breaks, which is a little bit more short form. So definitely encourage folks to check those out. You can find them at collectorsmd.com under the Discover tab. And again, we have all the tools and resources that you need to continue collecting more intentionally and, you know, in a more healthy, sustainable way. You know, we're also calling for breakers to partner with us. We're trying to get in front of the right folks so that we can layer in responsible collecting, responsible ripping messaging into these experiences. And it can be done in such a subtle way. Like we have been working with Stand Up Displays to make Collectors MD card stands.
That's awesome.
You know, they could say things like hashtag rip responsibly, collect responsibly, things like that. Same thing with like, you know, stickers, those slabs that have the custom labels on them. We just want people to, again, carry this into their collecting lifestyles or their own individual hobbies so that they are constantly making sure that they are collecting with intention and not compulsion. And I mentioned, you know, inviting people to contribute to the Daily Reflection. We also invite people to get involved in other ways. You know, you can reach out to us at any time and join a meeting. You know, we could bring you like, I've been interviewing any and everyone for the Collector's Compass podcast. I've been bringing on members of the hobby community, therapists, doctors, just people who want to share their perspective and expertise into some of these areas that, you know, have become problematic. And yeah, I mean, we want to continue growing the community and making sure that it's reaching the right folks, you know, in the best way possible.
Yeah. And I think you guys are doing an amazing job, you know, so far. Like I said, I'm really thankful for what you're doing and Collectors MD as a whole. And I think that it is going to bring, it's already brought change, and I think it's going to continue to bring positive change to our space for sure.
I appreciate that so much. Truly, just Elijah, I want to thank you so much for bringing me on and being a part of this conversation. I know how much work goes into building and maintaining a platform, a channel like yours, and it means like the world to be given the opportunity, the space to share what we're doing with Collectors MD and why it matters for the hobby. You know, you're really helping spark conversations that a lot of people have just been avoiding for far too long. And that's something, I'm super grateful, of. So thank you for opening the door, for letting me share my thoughts and, perspective, and for continuing to push this hobby toward, you know, something much more healthy and sustainable.
Yeah, I truly appreciate that. And, like I said, this is going to be, I think a very fruitful relationship and friendship as we can, you know, continue down the road. This will probably not be the last time that you're on the channel. And I had a great time just listening to your thoughts and your vision for what this hobby can be. And I just admire your passion, dude. It's so refreshing to see in a time where there's just so much negativity. There's there's so much crap out there that is just constantly being fed, like you said, through the good old smartphone. And so being able to come across, you know, you and Collectors MD, it's just been like a breath of fresh air.
Appreciate that. So truly.
I love what you're doing.
Thanks, man. That really means the world. And I agree. I think this will be the start of a long-term friendship, partnership, continuing to just pay it forward and make sure we're looking out for this hobby that we care so deeply about.
Definitely. All right, everybody. So that was our episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're still here, thank you sincerely from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you haven't subscribed already, click that subscribe button. All of the Collector MD links, again, will be in the description. And just once again, thank you so much, Alex, for all your contributions to our wonderful hobby.
Of course. Thanks, Elijah. Remember, collect with intention and not compulsion.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you guys later.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.